I'm going to volunteer. But
welcome to the chat with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You can download free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. If you have any questions or if you would like to make any comments while we are live on the air from 4:15 until 5 p.m., please call 740-383-9944. Let me share with you those who faithfully support the chat. Starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number is 740-382-8552. Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They have an ongoing announcement. This takes place this Saturday. Is that the 14th, I think? Mm-hmm. Okay, Saturday the 14th. Every second Saturday, which will be the 14th of September, Logos Christian Ministry, they have free produce market. Simply show up, provide your name, number of people in your household, and do not forget your state ID or your driver's license for your ID. Okay, there's a thought I usually share with you at the beginning of my show, and it's called Why Worry? Have Faith. And of course, we're going to be talking a little bit about faith today, and maybe you know more than a little bit, but let me share a little bit of this with you so that my audience, my team here with me, can get a feel of what we're going to be talking about. Why worry? Have faith. I can make a hobby out of worrying. I worry about the noise and then complain. When it's too quiet, I worry about having too many sunny dry spells and then complain when it rains. I may even be worried about worrying too much. It is essential to take an honest interest in what goes on around me. And of course, it is always wise to analyze a situation and take the necessary precautions to avoid being influenced by anything negative. However, when all is said and done, my tense and burdened mind will not be able to function clearly enough to arrive at a suitable solution to a problem. Maybe I should do the best I can and have the faith that all will be well. Okay, now let me turn my attention to my team I have here and also my guest, Laura Lee Dawson. I don't even know what kind of title to give you.
Call me anything you want to call me, as long as it's not too late for dinner. Okay. I'm a deaconess at my church, though.
Okay, deaconess of her church, and we have labored together at Child's Evangelism Fellowship.
For 5 years.
Yes, Short CEF and Good News Club and most of the schools here in Marion, Ohio. And I have my panelists here today, Dacia Wade. How are you today, Dacia?
Hello, how are you? I'm doing fine.
Good, 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 good. And Jamila Harris, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Great, great. You ladies can ask Laura Lee any questions you want to while she giving you a little bit of her history and background and what she's doing today.
Okay.
So let's get started. So I know that you just retired from, well, not retired, but gave up the CEF position of Good News
Club. I chose to resign from being a leader to the club because of their need and mine, because I work from 9 to 1, but during the tax season, I work from 9 to 4:30, and there just wasn't enough time for me to be active and get everything done the way it needed to be done. But I'm still part of the Child Evangelism Fellowship. I'm still serving on the committee in Kenton and still doing things for the local Marion County club. So
yeah, that's on the board of directors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Out of Kenton, Ohio.
Right.
Yeah. What did you like the most about being a lead teacher for CEF?
When you're lead teacher, you have to know the word. You have to learn the stories. And taking yourself back to kindergarten to fifth grade, when you're the age I am, was like a renewing, because it was stuff that I knew, but it was a refresher course for me in order to teach them. The children, they make you feel so welcome, and they're so loving, and they make you think and understand and appreciate where you are and what you had in life, because not all of them come from the homes that we have.
Right.
And but they're a delight. The kids, the whole thing. You know, I go out to the mall and somebody comes up and I don't remember them, but they remember me. So I act like I remember them. You know, when you're my age, you kind of sort of forget sometimes. But anyway, that's what I like the best, kids.
That's good. That's good. And I kind of know what you mean about going back and being refreshed yourself. But it was so powerful, those lessons.
They
and
are.
You be repenting and everything else because that word, you know, that word gets in you.
It's
you
like,
know.
Oh, Lord, did I do
yeah.
this?
Yeah. So if, anytime you have any questions, just ask. I know you're familiar with Child's Evangelism Fellowship. I don't know if Jamila is or not.
No,
anytime you want to ask any questions, just speak up.
Well, we're starting training tonight for lead teachers at Word of Life Christian Center. To be a lead teacher, you have to go through, this time it will be 3 weeks of training from the DVDs. What we need is volunteers. If you want to be a lead teacher, you get all of the information that you're going to have to need for your class. But you also get this training that teaches you how to deal with things. And when we have a class, we have a Bible story, we have snacks, we have games, we have memory verses, we have missionary stories. But the biggest part of that is teaching the children to be honest and that integrity and to have that character that they need. It also teaches them that Jesus loves them. And sometimes they've never heard that. They don't know that Jesus loves them. But it's the most rewarding thing you've done. I'm 75, as I told you, 75 years old, and I've taught 3 years at George Washington and thoroughly loved it. But all my helpers were in their 70s as well. So we need some people that have some vision. If you've got an hour and a half in the week that you can go and volunteer somewhere and get plugged in with a lead teacher, and then you may have the desire to become a lead teacher. But as she said, we're in all the schools in Marion County except for Ridgedale and River Valley Liberty, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, but I would encourage anyone to at least try it for a year. Starts in October, ends in April.
Right.
And it just is really, well, how long did you teach at Grant?
Oh my, about five.
About 5 years.
Yeah.
It's just a real, and there's a fulfillment in knowing that I'm doing what the Lord has called us to do, which is to witness and to share. That's the requirement. I don't care what title you put on anything.
That's true.
We're all called to do that. And when you do it to little kids, it's so cute. I have to share this story. I had a little boy 2 years ago, and we were doing John 3:16, and he came up to me and he said, "I don't think that's right. That's not what my Bible says." And I said, "Well, do you have your Bible?" He said, "No, but I'll be sure and bring it next week." He was in the third grade, so he brought it next week, and I looked up John 3:16, and I said, "Can you read this?" And he said, "Yeah." And he started reading it, and he looked at me for a minute, and he said, "Well, what do you know? That's really what it meant." I thought, "Yes, honey, that's really what it means. It's what it says." It was like, whoa. And here's this little third grader going, "I don't think so." But then saying, "That is what it says."
Look how he went and looked and wanted to make sure it was in there. And that's what we have to do as people that want to read the Bible. We can't just go by what we hear.
Right.
He didn't say, "Show me in your Bible." He went and got his Bible and said, "Show me where it's in my Bible."
Right.
He will. I guess that meant that he believed his Bible more.
Yeah.
He probably did.
Yeah.
What he was taking home with him. Right. You know. Right.
Well, you know, we give out Bibles from Good News in Good News. Mm-hmm. We make sure everybody has a Bible. We gave this Bible to a little boy named Noah. And the next week he came back and he said, I read 18 chapters this week. And I said, you did? He said, this is just the best story I've ever read.
Wow.
I said, well, thank you. He said, do you have any more books? I said, well, honey, you need to get through this one first.
Right, right.
And we'll look again. But it's so rewarding. It is so rewarding. It really is. And I think it's for younger people because they can better identify. My daughter shared a statement with me today, and I said, my grandson just started college, and it was a conversation with him, and she shared this statement with me, and I said, Tanya, honey, I hate to bother you, but I don't know what that means.
Right, right.
You're talking a language I've never talked. I don't know. You know, I don't know how the kids talk today. And she said, well, I'll explain it to you, but it won't do us any good, will it, because you won't remember. But you see, we need people that can identify with what that generation is going through now, particularly those teenagers.
Right, that's true.
Those, on Wednesday night at our church, and it's a direct result of Good News Club, we have around 80 to 100 children at our church on Wednesday nights for Missionettes and Rangers. And I would say probably 75%, maybe 80% of those are a direct result of Good News Club.
That's
they
good.
Heard about it, and they wanted to get more, and it's a training.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've got a church that needs young people, get plugged into a Good News Club because you can share what your church has for them, and that's the generation we need.
Yeah, it's so
the generation.
True.
We've got to reach that up through those teenage years,
mm-hmm.
or we're going to lose.
That's true.
And so it's important.
I was listening to Jensen Franklin trying to get, I do too, trying to get ready for church yesterday. And he was saying, God has called us to snatch people out of the gates of hell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he was saying that the Lord shared with him that people are walking off a cliff and going straight to hell because they have not heard about the story that we're telling in Child's Evangelism Fellowship, the
exactly.
Good News Club. They haven't heard that story. They haven't been raised up in the church.
They don't know it.
And you think about these people who go off and with these massive shootings and killing people. How many of those people have not heard the word, the gospel, the story about Jesus and how he loves them, how he, you know, died for their sins and how they can have eternal life?
Right.
So if we're not out here as the church, whether it's Good News Club or not,
mm-hmm. whatever it is,
right, witnessing the people,
mm-hmm.
that's what God has called us to do.
Yeah.
Like you said, reading my stories, getting it down in me, and going out there and witnessing.
Well, and you know, I heard a sermon one time. In everybody's life, there's approximately 10 people, and you're the only Christian that they associate with. And the Lord has called us in that scenario to open our mouths and share him.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my job to make their decision.
Right.
It's
right.
My job to tell them.
That's right.
Then they make the decision. But I don't ever want to think about somebody looking at me and saying, you didn't tell me.
Oh, my.
You didn't let me know. And it's so hard sometimes because even in family, it's very difficult sometimes in our families to say, this is what the Word of God says.
Mm-hmm.
The choice is yours, but this is what you need to know.
Yes, have to.
And we have to do it because we've got so much unrest. And, you know, 30 years ago when my kids graduated from high school,
mm-hmm.
everybody and their brother had a gun.
But right.
There were no shootings.
Not like it is today.
There weren't any. You know, if it was usually accidental.
Right.
There weren't people
you didn't
targeting
hear about
people.
It. Right, right.
Sin has taken such a hold. Rage? Road rage?
Oh, yeah.
You know, there were things we never even heard about 30, 40 years ago.
That's true.
When we were raising our youngins.
That's true.
And now it's just so commonplace. And that and the games, the violence in mm-hmm. our video games. Mm-hmm. We obviously didn't have them then.
Oh, no.
But now it's...
Flippo.
They just... Yeah, Flippo and Lucy's Toy Shop.
Yeah.
I've got some nephews that just, they know the whole thing. You know, and Noah started that. Mm-hmm. And when he started coming to Grandma's house, Tanya called me, she said, he's only allowed so many hours, so much time. And don't let him talk you out of it.
Right.
But we've got to put some restrictions.
Yes.
Where they're learning and they're taught how to behave.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you on that.
How to conduct themselves. I'm the sergeant at arms at our church. So when they get into their unruly, you have to go sit with Miss Lorley. They just all love me to pieces. But when they get unruly, all I have to do is sit down. I have never had to say a word. I've never had to discipline in any form. They just come, and then it got to where one little girl was misbehaving because she liked to sit with me.
She needed an excuse, right?
But in Good News Club, we have this. That's why we need volunteers, because you have those discipline problems.
Yes, yes.
And they need to know that you care,
right?
And that you're willing, but they also need to know that there are boundaries.
Right, right. And this Child Evangelism Fellowship has been approved by the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That if a school does have any after-school activities, that they cannot stop Child Evangelism Fellowship from coming right. into the school. Even though we have a lot of problems sometimes with the heads of the schools, I just know that we're living in the last days. At least I feel like it.
I think definitely.
You know, and we live in dangerous times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if we as Christians are not on our job, other than inside the four walls, then we need to think again about what God has called us to do.
Well, exactly. Well, and we were talking Sunday. You know, church as we know it mm-hmm. was not how they did church in Acts.
No.
They did it daily in homes and fellowshipped, and they learned the scriptures and the word.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even want to hardly take time on Sunday.
True.
To learn. Yeah. And then I don't know about everybody else's church. Our church still has church on Sunday night. But even then, it's half of what was there on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
The hunger for the word and the desire to learn is almost foreign to some people. Because what they once knew, oh, this is old hat, let's just do this. And mm-hmm. what's happened, we like the relaxed way of the world. And the Bible says, if Christ be lifted up, mm-hmm. he will draw all men to me.
That's true.
He didn't say spotlights and all this other stuff. He said, if Christ. And we've got to get back to that. And we've got to get back to where you were talking about faith and mm-hmm. worry.
Yes.
I'm not a worrier. My kids didn't turn my hair white. Pigment did, no. Anyway, age did. But I've never been a worrier.
Yeah.
But, you know, people get so consumed with what's happening in my life and what's going on. And there are concerns. I'll not argue that for a moment. But the person you need to talk to about that is the Christ. We need to talk to Jesus about it.
Right, right.
Rather than me calling Days and saying, hey, can you come and let me talk to you? And I want to share this. Well, you know what happens? Then we begin to be a support for one another, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
As long as our support is based in Christ and prayers.
Right.
So that when I need prayer, I can pray. I can call and say, would you pray for me? Would you do this for me?
Right.
It makes a difference. But we've tried to use psychiatrists, and I'm not against any of that, and psychologists. But honey, there's not anybody who knows how the mind works except Jesus. And that's because he and God created it. They know exactly what's going on.
Right.
And we need to understand that.
Wow.
So, but it's a tough, tough time, which is why we need them in. We need to be in the schools.
Yes, we do.
And it's necessary. You know, Child Evangelism Fellowship is worldwide. It's international. And right now we're supporting missionaries in Hungary.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting ready to celebrate our 45th year in this chapter. God's working. And I just want to be in the middle of it. I love action.
That's a good place to be.
I think so, too.
Yeah, right in the middle of it.
Right in the middle of it.
Yes, it is. And like you said, for 5 years, you've been a part of this organization. And I know I started in 2009, so that makes 10 for me. And mm-hmm. It's like, wow. My thing was, and I think you hit the nail on the head when you were saying that we don't do church like they used to years ago, you know, because you're right. Lucky if you get a Bible study one day out of the week mm-hmm. and then church mm-hmm. service. Yes, and I was just talking with a girl yesterday. She said they went to church every day back in the day.
You know? My grandson was in El Salvador for six weeks uh-huh. this past summer. He was in church 5 times a week mm-hmm. in El Salvador. And he said, Grandma, it wasn't an hour and a half service. And he was used to, you know.
In and out.
He said, no, when those people go to church, they go to worship. And they don't care how long mm-hmm. it is. And it was hot. Bless, I laughed at him. And I said, makes you appreciate air conditioning, doesn't it? He said, yeah, but your church is almost as long-winded as they are.
I don't think so. I mean, we're in there at 10, praise and worship about a half an hour. And
well, and it was like Sunday, yesterday. Pastor, we began to do praise and worship, and the Spirit of God just kind of hovered over us.
Okay.
And so for like about 45 minutes, wow. we were just worshiping and praising. And there were a couple people in the altar seeking the Lord. And mm-hmm. I mean, it was just one of those times when, you know, and obviously there were some that just sat back down and couldn't feel him. And I'm thinking to myself, if you'll just start praising him,
yes,
he'll come.
Absolutely.
He'll come. It's yes, there. But you see, but we get in a hurry. My pastor's fond of saying, if your hot dog's burnt, it's okay. You can eat it burnt because he cooks Cajun. Everything's burnt that pastor cooks. But we need to get to back to where we give God some time.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
we get into that closet. Mm-hmm. And we have that conversation.
That one-on-one. Absolutely. That one-on-one.
I wonder, do you all have a war room?
I created one. Mm-hmm. Well, I haven't did it at my new place. But when I was going through some things, and one morning my mom suggested that I watch that because I hadn't watched it as long as it had been out. And I watched it, and I immediately took heed to what she was doing. And I'm a witness that it produced results.
Mm-hmm.
It did.
It
really did. I've never took the prayer and written it down or stuck it on anything and went back and checked on it or, you know, kept writing and sticking it mm-hmm. on things to remember my prayers. But I did that, and it worked. It really
does.
It does work.
I've typed out all the names. We take prayer requests in Sunday school class before we go to class.
Mm-hmm.
So I type all those names out and I put them on the wall in my war room. And you know, if they need healing or if they need salvation
right.
or if they need emotional support, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't always get to keep track of it. But it's a great, that war room, oh, that closet.
Was the best thing I ever did. I hate that I discontinued with writing it down. I still kind of have a war room. It's like in my bathroom right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I haven't wrote it down again.
I understand.
I haven't wrote it down again.
I had a prayer journal from 1978 when Tom died. I started a prayer journal.
Okay.
And when you go through some things, you think, God, you forgot me. We all do that,
of course.
We admit it or not. We all do. And I got that out, and I began to look at the times that God had supplied, the prayers he had answered. And, you know, they weren't great big things.
Mm-hmm.
They were those little miracles
mm-hmm.
that just keep you going.
Right.
And that's what my war room is like. And I just, of course, right now it's kind of stacked up. There's room for me and my Bible and the wall, because there's all this stuff over here I need to move, but the Lord and I still meet in there.
Now, I did that years ago when we lived on David Street. I don't know if you remember, but I used to have my little stickets while I washed dishes. And I had on my cabinets, you know, you got your window there and you have cabinets on both sides. And I had my little sticky notes on both sides. And as I washed dishes, I was praying for these people and stuff. And God was answering prayer.
Yes,
He is. He was answering prayer. And I had some written and stuck on my Bible from when I lived in Georgia. And, you know, sometimes you forget about those things, right? Yes, and do. I did. Was looking through the Bible, saying what prophecies, you know, people giving you prophecies and stuff, and what I had, what had come true and what hadn't, and I ran across the paper from that church. God had answered everything but mine. Like you said, Lord, you forget about me, you leave me out, right? You know, but He had answered all those prayers, all those prayers.
I haven't had a war room, but really, I wore in all my house. But I was taught one time a while ago when I was going to this church in Akron, Ohio, Zion Apostolic Faith Church, to write my prayers down and go back to my prayers and look at the things that God has done. Mm-hmm. Because some things are spiritual and you don't see.
That's right.
Everything that you're asking for. And a lot of times, the things that we're asking for is spiritual and not material. You know what I'm saying? But we think, oh, but I want a house. Oh, but I want this. But when we are praying, we're not praying for material things. We pray for spiritual things. So God is always answering prayer.
He is.
Yeah, well, it's a prayer answering God, right?
He is. My prayer life was revolutionized when my sister told me about Prayers That Availeth Much by Jermaine Copeland. And what she did was she took situations and she pulled out scripture so that I don't have to hunt them. I can go to that book and I can go, if I need to pray for my children, if I need to pray about a job, if I need to pray about family, if I need to pray about illness or whatever, all those scriptures are out. So I took that and I pulled those scriptures out and typed them out and made me a book that pinpoints my life.
Right.
And I don't pray for me necessarily because I don't have any needs or wants, right? I don't know that I ever have, but because there's always been a time that God, even when I was without, somebody else was praying and He showed up. And which is, I think, neat. When you pray for other people are praying for you.
Isn't that something?
And it is, that's how God works.
Yes, that's beautiful.
But that revolutionized my prayer life because I began to pray His word. Not what I think, not what I say. Right. Now, it's like, I can't remember where it's at, but it talks about, I think it's in Ephesians, talks about being baptized into His sufferings. We don't like to suffer.
No.
I tell you that now.
However, life is going to bring sufferings to us. Until we get out of here, we're just passing through to begin with. We're pilgrims, we're strangers. I don't know about you, but I'm an alien.
Yes.
And boy, do they know I'm an alien. But anyway.
So this is not my home.
But we're just passing through. And we get so consumed here that we forget about, the Bible says where your heart is, there your treasure will be also.
And that's so true.
And where is your treasure? And he just, it's, there's so much. I've been a Christian for 60, how old am I, 75, 63 years. But He has changed me so much from the time I was 12 years old until even in the last 2 years. God has, He's still doing a number on me.
Yeah. Because you're still on His word.
He's still changing me. He's still convicting me. He's still taking me deeper. He's still causing situations and saying, okay, now who are you going to trust?
Right, that's true.
Who are you going to trust? So, is it Social Security or is it me? Bottom line, that's it.
Yeah, I think a lot of us are there. When we have to trust Him. There's a long way to go.
Yes, there is.
When you're looking at one income a month, you know, just one pay, that's it. Yes, it takes a lot of faith to get through month to month. So how do you look at, like, your generation to your children's generation? Do you see much difference?
Oh, yes. There's a lot of difference. First of all, my generation, I got a chance to see my great-grandma and maybe her mom. I got a chance to see the real love and the the real prayers and all that good stuff that has kind of tried to fade away a little bit. My kids' generation, they got to see a little bit of it, but not like I got to see. So I had to take what I've learned over the years and make sure that I installed it into them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because they, more than half of the things that I seen from my grandparents or, you know, my great grandparents, even the way that the church ran, how they had church, they'll never get to see that. They'll never get to experience that. So we have to keep the tradition alive and keep showing them what we learned.
Right. What about you, Daisy? You see any difference? And how can we combat that difference that you see?
I do see a difference. I think for some reason this younger generation is harder for them to grasp reality. Like, this is real. You know.
Right.
Like, they don't believe that. I don't know why they don't understand that it's real. Like, this is real life. And because they don't believe that it's real, they think there's chance after chance after chance after chance after chance after chance. They don't realize how dangerous life is. And it's a game to the younger generation. That's what I think. They don't have no grasp on reality.
I agree.
I agree, too.
With the technology and stuff and all that stuff.
There's always tomorrow. They think there's always going to be tomorrow.
But they don't never want to wait till tomorrow, either. Right. It's like everything has to be right now. That's how they get into selling drugs, because they want the money right now. There's no getting a job, waiting for your paycheck. You know, and then, you know, your raise is always what? Income tax time, right? Exactly. So you're not waiting on your raise at the end of the year or all this or whatever. You want it right now.
Yeah.
And that's not reality.
Yeah. And that goes for gambling, too, because that seems to be a problem also. Gambling, people losing their homes and everything that they own just because they need that quick money. And it's like a euphoria. You know, they're winning the lottery.
Well, and back to her point, they'll get a job and work 6, 8, 10 weeks, and they get those paychecks, and then they think they've got all this money. So then they quit.
Right, right.
And because I'm going to get what I want now. And when it runs out, okay, what do we do now? Because, you know, I'm not getting that check from McDonald's or Wendy's or wherever.
That's true. That's so true.
And they have no foresight. They think, she's exactly right, they think today.
Have we given them too much?
Yep.
And they haven't had to earn anything.
What was that thing they said on Facebook? If you don't raise your children with boundaries, then you'll be raising your grandchildren, because there were no boundaries. And that's where we're at. So many of my friends are raising their grandchildren.
Right.
Because their kids are out and off and gone. And they had no responsibilities because
they weren't given any.
Well, they weren't given any responsibilities. And I don't know, I wanted mine to do better than me.
Same here.
However, yes. I didn't want to have to be responsible after they were 18.
Same
Honey,
here.
I want you to do better. But you got to work for a baby. I ain't doing this.
I was telling someone.
And it's hard.
Yeah, it is. I raised my girls to be grown and gone. You know, out the house, you know.
That's what I said.
And I did. I did. I did a good job. I think I did. I did a good job by the four daughters.
Good.
Yeah.
I know one of them, and you did. I don't know all of them, but I know one of them, and you did. So it works out well. And if that's an example, then they are all fine.
That's true. Now, this is Zephaniah's mother.
Oh, really? Boy, we've been praying for him. I've been praying for him for 5 years.
Oh, wow.
He's still in my war room. Yes, he
Keep
is.
Him in there.
He's a boy.
Yes, yes,
Keep
he is.
Keep him right on that wall.
I'll do that.
Still very impressionable. Like, there's so much more for them to look at other than what we're saying or try to lead them to.
Well, and there's so many different avenues that we don't even think about.
True.
That are available to them now.
Right.
We
so
don't,
much.
We don't have any idea. I was thinking about that driving down here. I saw someone and I thought, I have no concept of how they, the avenues that they have to take care of themselves. I'm thinking, Lord, if I were homeless, where would I go? I'd probably end up in a park on a picnic table or somewhere.
And there's a lot of that going on.
And there's
on.
A lot of that, yes.
Someone told me there's a whole city behind the hill at Lincoln Park. I'm thinking, what?
A city?
Yeah.
That's what. Well, my stepson, Randy Dawson, once a year. I'm with her. I had no idea.
I heard that.
But once a year, they do a cardboard city.
Right. Now, you know, when I first moved back to Marion, mm-hmm. I seen it one time. I said, wow. I seen some people with some cardboard standing up mm-hmm. with looking, trying to work for food. And I seen it one time in Marion.
Well, I seen that, but I didn't know about the city.
I didn't know about the city.
I guess there's enough people back there that they got their own little neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Yeah, their own little community.
Oh, wow.
They have their own connections.
Yeah.
They have their own connections.
Where they're sleeping. Ooh. They're living back there.
Yeah.
At least sleeping.
Wow.
You know, and when we think about things like that, you know, that's when the prayer rooms come into play, the witnessing comes into play, and mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone's been back there. I don't know if I would even trust myself going back there or being fearful of what may happen, but then you have a lot of gentlemen or men of God that we could probably tell about it, and they would go back there mm-hmm. and try to, you know, lead some of those to Christ, you know. But that is a great commission. That is what God has called us to do.
Every one of us.
You know, absolutely. Everyone that believes. You know, everyone mm-hmm. that believes. Mm-hmm. And from what I understand, someone told me, well, you just can't get people saved. You got to tell them they got to do this and they got to do that and they got to go here and they got to go there. We are under the law. We have to obey God's laws. I said, okay, I agree with you on the Ten Commandments, you know. And then he broke it down to two. If you love me, right?
My job is not to clean them. My job's to catch them.
There you go.
It's God's job to clean them.
That's right.
He will clean. All you got to do is pray.
That's right.
It's not. You're not going to.
You lead them to Christ.
Right. Exactly.
You ain't Christ.
No.
Exactly.
No. Because my works can't save me.
Mm-mm. No.
It can't save me.
No, we lead them to Christ.
Right. It cannot save
we're not
me.
Him.
He's the one.
He's the only one.
And he's the only one. The Bible says that. I don't care what other people want to say.
Right.
It's written, the only way, he is the truth, the life, and the only way to the Father is through Jesus Christ the Son.
Right.
And you can put any twist you want to put on that, it's still the same thing.
It's still the same thing. Absolutely. It's still the same thing.
I would love to be able to do things my way. However, when
what's
I
the
try
result,
to do things
right?
my way, I end up more trouble than Carter's got pills. Okay, God, I'll do it your way. I understand now.
So that's
don't
a result.
Be stupid today.
Yes.
That's a result we all come
exactly.
up with. Right? What was I thinking? Oh, I wasn't thinking, right? Yeah. It's like that. So we started out the show with, I can make a hobby out of worrying. Mm. And my mother used to say, while y'all sleeping, I'm up thinking. I'm like, Mom, you better go to sleep. What you doing? I'm thinking while we sleep. That was worrying.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She was worried about maybe. She said I was the worst one. I don't know why she said that about me. I thought, Mom, are you serious? I thought I was the best, right? She said, well, no, you my worst one. So evidently she was worried about me, what I was doing, where I was at, who I was with, you know. And my brothers, my sisters, my dad, but we cannot sacrifice our life, which is what she did. She sacrificed her life.
And what did it change?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
And she died an early death. She was mm-hmm. 62. She was gone.
Mm-hmm. Worry yourself to death. And like I said, I don't worry. I raised three kids. I was widowed for 4 years with teenagers. Only the grace of God got me through that. But anyway, I never worried. And you want and when there was a situation going on, if I went to sleep, I always went to sleep before they got home. Just me. But God, the Holy Spirit would wake me up. And one night, my middle son was in trouble, and he hadn't come in, and it was like 11:15, and the Lord woke me up, mm-hmm. and I started praying, and I sent his brother to find him, and he had been drinking, mm-hmm. and he was in his Monte Carlo, and he missed a concrete embankment when we found him down from the house by 6 inches.
Oh, my.
And his car was running wide open. Now, God will take care of you, mm-hmm. and he will give you a peace if you will allow him. True. Now, the Lord could have healed him when he had his aneurysm at 44, mm-hmm. but God chose to take him home.
Oh, okay.
But everything was good. Last words to me, I love you, Mother, and I'll see you on the flip side.
Mm.
And to me, that meant he was coming through surgery. But what that meant was, I'll see you in heaven.
Right.
And that's a comfort, because I know God was in control.
Right.
I know, and I know the Lord could have healed him, and I know a lot of things could have been different, but God sees the tomorrows.
Yes, he does.
And I wouldn't change that. I would not give that up because of the assurance I have, mm-hmm. that I will see him in heaven. Everything's okay between me and God. Mother, you just don't need to worry. And he said, why am I saying that to you? But you see, God is
your
good.
Mother, yeah.
And he knows. And it doesn't mean you don't hurt. It doesn't mean you don't cry. It doesn't mean you, Lord, couldn't you make this different?
Mm-hmm.
But God sees my tomorrow. Jim Martin says he sees down the street and around the corner. And he does.
Mm-hmm. Years.
And he years. Does. Yes.
He's eternal. Years. He's been around those corners, yeah. You know.
And he knows when he's going to be done with me.
Of course.
So I don't need to be concerned about it.
That's true.
It just, if he is, he is. And if he's not, he's not. And you know, Satan's tried to take me out so many times. If you trust the Lord and you know Jesus Christ, nothing's going to happen to you until he's done. Now, he may have things in your life that he wants to use as a testimony to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was in the hospital with cancer.
Right.
Witnessing to people. That's what you're there for.
Right, right.
I wasn't there because of all the other. I was there to witness to people.
Right.
And to the doctors and the nurses and the whoever's. Everything that comes into our lives is for a witness to him.
That's true. That's so true.
And we boil up, and you can tell I'm very shy.
Yeah, right.
I'm not. Never.
Yeah, right,
been.
Laura Lee, you're so shy. Right, 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 right.
But no, but my job is, whether you're shy or not, if you just share with one person every day, think of the seeds that you sow.
Mm-hmm.
Think of the things. If you just pray a half hour a day, mm-hmm. about people, think of the things that are going up to heaven. Because we're in a spiritual battle.
Yes, we are. Warfare.
You can't,
we are in warfare.
A man walked into Walmart the other night and said that.
Yeah, warfare. Spiritual, mm-hmm. warfare. And we better be.
He looked like one of them homeless people, but he came in there and he said, we in a spiritual warfare. It's, yep. a spiritual war going on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I believe that.
So I don't know about
I know
you.
I know that.
But I'm all right. And he walked out the store.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I believe it too. I just listen. I clean at Whirlpool in the evening times. And sometimes when you know, you just clean and you listen into people's conversation. You know, there's nobody talking about God, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. or nobody talking about praying or nothing. You open your mouth and you talk about it, mm-hmm. you know. They start to ask questions, you mm-hmm. know. Or
true.
Some people might connect with you, maybe mm-hmm. one or two. One or two out of 400?
Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah.
You know, that's
true.
A lot.
That's true.
That's a lot
it
of
is.
People.
It is a lot of people. Mm-hmm. That is a lot of people.
But it's like the starfish and the little boy walking along the shore throwing one starfish in at a time. And the guy said to him, you can't get all of these starfish. And he looked up and he said, no, I can't. But it matters to this one.
Mm-hmm.
And he threw it in the ocean. It matters to that one or two.
That's why God left the 99 to go after that one that was lost, that one sheep that was lost.
That's right.
Thank you, Laura Lee, for coming and spending
this
time with
good.
Us.
I like this.
It was good, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah. And Jamila, thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Spending some time with us. And Dacia, thank you once again. And thank you those of you who are listening to our show today. And hopefully we said something that you can use or share with someone else. We have to realize we are in a spiritual battle. And we all believe, I think most of us Christians believe, we are living in the last days. And this is there is no greater time for you to witness and tell someone else about Christ and why you believe what you believe. The Lord says we should all be able to do that when we meet someone, is to tell them about the hope that we have within us. So, and until tomorrow, be blessed and enjoy the rest of the day. Thank you. Bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk. Bob McGrath from Sesame Street.
Oh, who are the people in your neighborhood? In your neighborhood? In your neighborhood? Say, who are the people in your neighborhood? The people that you meet when you're walking down the street. The people that you meet each day.
Legendary newsman Hugh Downs. Did you ever think you would be referring to the NBC News anchor as doing something this stupid?
No, I never did think I would. I didn't think that could happen because, first of all, I think the way NBC itself has handled this is really not as smart as it could be. There could be a, you know, they got to quit using words like mistake and error and start saying what the truth is. That's what they're trying to get out. If they do that, they could get some public restoration of their credibility and help themselves a lot, but they're not doing that. They're still willing to call it a mistake, and that's dumb. It is dumb.
Legendary actor from Barney Miller, Abe Vigoda.
I'm gonna be 94 years old. I'm gonna be 94 years old. I'm so grateful to God.
And from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, Mr. McFeely.
If there's anything you want, if there's anything you need, McFeely's Delivery brings it to you here with speed. Yes, our speedy delivery is a speedy delivery. Speedy delivery to you, Scott.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. This is Scott Spears, high above Marion in the WWGH News Chopper. If you see news in Marion, please email us at scott@wwgh1071.com and keep an eye out for the WWGH News Chopper flying high overhead. Marion Wings and Wheels Incorporated, a 501c3, has just updated their website with a form for tickets to their VIP reception for Dr. Harold Brown, one of the few remaining Tuskegee Airmen, and the Commemorative Air Force Red Tail Squadron. The reception will be Friday, September 13th, 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. at Hangar 12 at the Marion Municipal Airport. There are a limited number of tickets, 150, for this fundraising event. One lucky ticket holder will ride in the P-51, a $2,000 flight. One ticket holder of only 150 will experience the thrill of soaring in this historic aircraft. Tickets are a $50 donation and are available via WingsWheelsMarion.org website, fundraising reception. Follow the instructions and you could be the lucky ticket holder. Attendees will experience Dr. Harold Brown's documentary, Ask Dr. Brown Questions, see the World War II P-51C Mustang, CAF Red Tail Squadron's Rise Above Mobile Theater documentary, U.S. Army's Black Hawk helicopter, U.S. Air Force's activity trailer, U.S. Navy's activity trailer, and enjoy delicious hors d'oeuvres. This is a casual event. There are only 150 tickets available now for this event. Go to WingsWheelsMarion.org. We here at WWGH Radio 107.1 FM are proud to present Magnificent Marion Moments. Mary Ellen Withrow was the 40th Treasurer of the United States from March 1, 1994 to January 20, 2001 under President Bill Clinton. She was also treasurer when the $5, $10, $20, $50, and $100 notes were redesigned in the 1990s. A native of Marion County, Withrow served as the treasurer of her home state of Ohio, a position to which she was elected in 1982, 1986, and 1990. Before that, she was elected treasurer of her native Marion County in 1976 and 1980. This makes her the only person to have held the post of treasurer at all three levels of government, local, state, and national.
I'm the man with the golden voice, and you're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Do you want fries with that shake?
And now a few words from Scott Spears, Charlie Evers, and the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
Hey, Ted, what's the best part about being so well-known?
Well, meeting all kinds of new people, you know, taking pictures and signing autographs.
That's great. What's the worst part?
That after signing a half million autographs, I've got the worst case of carpal tunnel syndrome since John Hancock.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Meadows Lawn Care and Landscaping is a proud supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. Telephone number 740-262-5638. Email meadowslawncare43302@gmail.com. Creating unique environments. Facebook, Meadows Lawn Care.
Hey everyone, it's Weasel Boy, Weasel the Weeze. You might remember me from WNCI in Columbus. Now good for you, lucky, you won the bet. I'm going to be right back here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. It's going to be the Weasel Show. We're going to have huge guests, great prizes, lots of entertainment. We're going to be interactive and give away a lot of goodies. So you can listen live on the net at WWGH1071.com or by downloading the free TuneIn app and searching WWGH. The Weasel Show is supported by Retrofoam of Central Ohio, LLC. Retrofoam doesn't cost, it pays. Telephone number is 614-664-FOAM. That's 614-664-3626. Website, www.retrofoamofcentralohio.com. And you can catch them on Facebook at Retrofoam of Cent Ohio.
I'm an IT guy, and I have an office, and I've got some computers in there, and occasionally they break down. Who do I turn to? What do I do? Well, I could always listen to Adam, the computer guy. He's got all the information that I need to help me keep my computers running just beautifully. So if you have any computer information you need, you want to keep your computers running right, and you want to get the latest news and information, listen to Adam the Computer Guy, right here on 107.1 FM, WWGH.
Today's top and trendy technology topics every Tuesday and Thursday between 2:10 p.m. and 3, with me on WWGH Radio.
This is Earl Fitzamerican. You're listening to WWGH 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
The Marion Towers Apartments are a supporter of WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Address 400 Delaware Avenue, phone number 740-387-9050.
This is Adam Lepp, and you hear me talk every week about computers and politics. Yes, I do know quite a bit about those topics, but as a homeowner, I could never know enough about home repairs and improvements. However, I have great news. Join my friend D. Skills every Saturday morning at 10:13 a.m. for the Skills to Envy program. Helpful tips, money-saving advice, and of course, a surprise or two. Skills to Envy, a fun and flavorful way to obtain useful information.
It's time for WWGH News. News about people, places, and plans. Live from the WWGH Newsroom, I'm the man with a golden voice, Ted Williams.
This is Scott Spears in the WWGH News Center. Aqua Ohio's Marion Division will conduct water main flushing in the Marion County Service Area Monday through Friday.